Good morning, Boulevard. I love the wave, Eric. As you can see, I am not Jeff. I am, if this is your first time here, I am Anthony Johnson, one of the pastoral residents here at Boulevard, and I get the opportunity to share God's word with you. And so let me just take a little time to bridge you into me if you're not familiar with me. I love you guys, and I love God's word, and I love God too. So with that, I get passionate, and when I get passionate, I get pumped. And so please, if I get pumped, if I get loud, if I step away from the microphone to have a little praise break, know that I love, it's not because I'm mad, it's not because I'm angry, it's just I love Jesus and I love you and I'm pumped about God's truth being true to me, for you, and for myself. Amen, church? And so if I get there, if I happen to shout today, you can nod your head, you can say amen, or you just can take notes. Whatever it is, just don't leave me by myself. Amen, church? So we've been working through the Lord's Prayer. Louis kicked us off with the reflection on the phrase, pray this way. Pastor Jeff, in the last 3 weeks, talked about relating to God as a father, hallowing God's name, and praying that God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. This morning, I get the privilege to talk about what it means to pray for our daily bread. And so we turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It's page 761 on your in your pew Bible. If you need to pull it up on your Bible app, then go ahead and do that. If you're looking for wet version, it's the ESV version. When you have it, are you ready? Say amen. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Let us pray. God, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word this morning to your people, Lord. I pray that you let your love for your people, your love for me, your love for everybody in this room shine through the preaching of the word today, Lord. I pray that you allow me to decrease and let you increase, Lord, for the word that we all need to hear today, Lord Jesus. And we just pray that in your mighty and excellent name, and all God's people said amen. When I was a young kid, I loved food. Wait a minute. That's a little bit off. That's act like it's in the past. I still love food. And some loves die hard. Y'all know that. Anyway, one day, my mom and my godmama made this chicken tender dinner, and it had some delicious fries. They fixed the food, and it was ready to eat. And all we had to do was go to the table and eat the food, but they left and went to the store. I don't know why they went to the store. I cannot remember. And all you could smell was the whiff of the freshly cooked chicken tenders, the whiff of the oily fries, and they just, let's just say it got to me. Because they had been gone for an eternity, and these whiffs and these smells made me misplace my mind because I got so frustrated that they weren't there that I began to kick the wall in my room, and then the next thing I know, a hole appeared in the wall. When my parents found out, let's just say it did not end well. Now I know not to kick holes in walls when you're hungry. It's not a good idea. You see, brothers and sisters, I kicked up hole in the wall because I did not ultimately trust my mom to provide for my needs. And I have a question for you this morning, saints. When it comes to waiting on God to provide for our needs, where are the holes in your wall? What we need, like the disciples in Jesus' day, we can find it hard to trust God to provide for our needs. And what we need to remember this morning, saints, is that because God is our Father, He provides for us, and we can pray for our bread. Because God is our Father and He provides for us, we can pray for our bread. So how do we pray to Him for our bread? And this is my first of 2 points this morning. I hope not to be that long. You know that's the preacher's ha-ha-ha means that I'm going to take too long, but bear with me, church. But my first point this morning is, because our Heavenly Father provides for us, we should pray for the bread for today. Now, I want to focus on the first part of my big picture point is that our Heavenly Father provides for us. How do we know that? Let us look in verse number 7. And he says, in chapter 6, verse 7, he says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them." Why, Jesus? So he says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Brothers and sisters, God knows. Before you go to Him in prayer with whatever you need, God knows. And so that's we can see in our passage that right now, even right now, God knows and He longs to provide for our needs. And what Jesus asks us to do is to pray. So my first point is, I'm going to say it again, because our Heavenly Father provides for us, because He already knows our needs, we should pray for the bread today. Brothers and sisters, Jesus asked His disciples. We know that He asked His disciples because in chapter 5, it says when all His disciples had gathered around Him, He went up on a mountain and He began to preach, because this Lord's Prayer comes in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. So He's talking to His disciples and He's telling them to pray for their daily bread. Now, praying for our daily bread can seem like a trivial thing for us American Christians to pray. It may seem trivial because we can go to the grocery store and we can go and just get bread when we need it. So it can seem trivial. For instance, just on Friday, my mom's birthday was this past Saturday, I need to call her today with my boys, but I did send her a card in the mail on Friday. So I was thinking of her. But this past Friday, I went into Pete's, and then I went through the bread aisle, and then the fact that there's a bread aisle is crazy, that we just have an aisle in our grocery store just devoted to bread. And then you look into the aisle, and what I realize is that there are at least 8 different kinds of bread that you can buy. You can buy raisin bread. That's crazy. You can buy cinnamon bread. You can buy white bread. You can buy wheat bread. You can buy gluten-free bread. You can buy bread with grain in it. There are at least 8 kinds of bread in the grocery store, and that's not even counting how many different brands there are of bread. And I didn't even know this. This caught me off guard. Did you know that Cinnabon has made bread that's like a cinnamon roll? I didn't even know that. That caught me off guard. I almost had a praise break right there in the store. But all that to say, brothers and sisters, it can seem trivial in our context to pray for our daily bread. However, in Jesus' day, His audience was poor, and they depended on a day's wage to buy bread for the day. They were a bad day in the market or a bad day in the fields away from not having bread that they needed. And so this prayer would make sense. And also, brothers and sisters, this prayer would make sense to other brothers and sisters across the whole world, that they literally pray that God gives their daily bread. Brothers and sisters, this is a challenge for us in our context, because what this prayer does is it checks us. We need sometimes we need God's word to comfort us and assure us, but sometimes we need it to check us as well, church. And what this prayer does is it checks us in our self-sufficiency, our over-reliance on money, and our over-reliance on power. brothers and sisters, if you're like me, those things can become idols real fast, to where I can say, I can make things work. I can make life work on my own. I really don't need God to do it because I'm able to, like, just make things go. Or, I look at my bank account. I got enough money to buy bread. I don't really need God to really provide anything for me. Or I could just use my power and influence to get the things that I need. But brothers and sisters, I'm reminded of a song. It says like this. I got money in the bank. I got cars in the driveway. I got food in the refrigerator. I got all kinds of friends. If I was just anybody, I would say it was all good. But then it says this, but I know better. It's all God. Brothers and sisters, the money, if you feel yourself as having power, that all comes from God. We can look at Deuteronomy 8 when God tells his people, I'm a paraphrase here, don't think when you get in the land and the land is prospering and you got money in the bank, you got the all the sheep and goats that you need, your fields is producing fruit, you got honey, you got grapes, everything that you need, don't sit up there and say, well, look, I made it here because I'm so great. God says, no, Israel, you didn't make it because you were so great. You made it because I set my love upon you, that I said that I'm going to take care of you. Brothers and sisters, that's the same word for us American Christians, where we have plenty. And God is saying, don't think it's because you're so great. Don't think it's because you're so resourceful. Don't think it because you have the pedigree. Don't think it's because you come from the good stock. No, that's not what God is. That's not what God wants us to believe. He's saying, you need to remember that it was because of me that you got the nice house. It's because of me that you got food on the table. It's because of me you got clothes on your back. It's because of me that you can wake up in the morning. God wants to remind us that he is our source. Sometimes we can make the things that God gives us our source, but God is the one that is our source. And we need him, church. And you know what? That's the gospel. The gospel is we never come to the day where we don't need God. God says, you lack, and in your lack, I meet you. We need that, church. It reminds us of his grace, and we can run to it. When I worked for Harambe in St. Louis, we started the summer with enough money, you know, to start the summer. We had enough money to make it through 4 weeks of an 8-week program. An elder at our church who started Harambe named Aaron Henning, he had the weirdest response. When it became the week 4, and we still didn't have enough money to make it through the rest of the summer, he told us all this. I cannot promise all of you that money is going to be on your paycheck in 2 weeks. But I want to invite you all in joining me to pray for our daily bread. We needed a lot of money. And he told us that I don't have enough faith to pray to God for a large sum of money, but I got enough faith to pray for our daily bread. And so, I mean, at that point, we didn't have any other choice. And so we every morning we prayed that God, you know what we need today, and we're going to have to cry out to you and say, Lord, we need you to bring the resources to make it through the day. Brothers and sisters, every day God provided until the end of the summer. We had enough money to make it through the summer. Brothers and sisters, we had to get rid of our sense of self-sufficiency. We had to get rid of our over-reliance on money. And we had to get rid of our sense of power. And you know what happened? God showed up and he met us. Brothers and sisters, some of us in our church family have a sense of anxiety about our finances. You look at the Google Sheets or the Microsoft Excel sheet, and you may be wondering where the money is going to come from to make it through this month. I want to encourage you to look to God for your daily bread. And as the old hymn says that when I was coming up, be not dismayed. God will take care of you. The scriptures say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. I want you to try this math in your Excel sheet and plug it into your equation. Look at your financial needs and then subtract them from the money that you bring in. And if it still doesn't add up, I want you to put another number in. It's a Greek symbol. It's a circle with a line through it that means God. Brothers and sisters, when you put God in that equation, he meets his people's need. And when we have negative, he makes everything balance out. And you know what he said does? He does it exceedingly and overflowing. His resources will meet our need. That's been my life experience, that God meets us in those places where we don't have, and he meets us with his resources. Again, I say, that's the gospel. God meets us when your balance or whatever it is in negative. God meets us in that negative, and he makes it, not only does he bring it, like, make it balance out, he makes it a positive. That's the gospel. Some of us have stepped out on faith and started new businesses or new endeavors. You look at all the risk it takes to start something, and it seems really crazy. And you may be wondering that, and sometimes you may wonder some days, did I make a mistake doing this? I can't tell you if you made a mistake or not, because I'm not a business person and I'm not a life coach. But I can tell you that in the midst of you stepping out in faith, God will not leave and he will not forsake you. Even if everything goes down the drain, you lose it all, God will give you daily bread, and he is sufficient for our needs. My brothers and sisters, rest easy this morning. Your God has you covered. If he covered you on Calvary, he can cover you financially. Some of us are facing medical crisis after medical crisis. I'm not God. I can't promise relief, but I can promise that he's sufficient to meet your emotional, spiritual, and physical day-by-day needs. He's going to meet you in those places. Some of us may be struggling with the work that we have, or some of us may be struggling because we don't have work and we don't know where our next job is coming from. God will meet you with daily bread this morning. Some of us are just tired parents. I don't know about you, but this week, I know I've said, I'm tired of being a dad. I don't have it anymore. And I want to say this to myself and to you if you find yourself in that place. God wants to meet you with daily bread that will meet you in your lack. Petition your Heavenly Father this morning for daily bread, brothers and sisters. He longs to meet you in those places of lack. God's provision for our daily needs points us to his provision to restore all of creation. Which brings me to my second point. We should pray for bread for tomorrow. Because our Heavenly Father provides for us, we should pray for the bread for tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, there's another layer to praying for our daily bread. The Greek in this verse could also be translated, our future bread give us today. If we interpret this in light of verse 11 in light of verse 10, when Jesus asks us to pray that God's kingdom comes in earth as it is in heaven, and if we put this in line with verse 11, it would seem to suggest that when he says our future bread for tomorrow, that's what he's getting at, that the bread, I cannot say the word, but it starts with an E, end time bread, pray for that today. Pray that God will work out his kingdom, his justice, his forgiveness, his righteousness, his restoration of all things. Pray for that to happen today. I I'd like to think of it like this. It's when you go to the movies, you see previews, right? You see, I remember when I saw like the Spider-Man, like Far From Home trailer, I was like, I'm finna go see that. Still ain't seen it yet, but I still say, I'm finna go see that movie. The preview gives us a foretaste before we see the real thing. What Jesus is asking us to pray for, saints, is for a foretaste of when he brings his full restoration to the earth. We pray for previews until Jesus returns. That's what he's asking us for. Working at Harambe during the summer, believe it or not, it's hard. Now, the main reason that it's hard isn't even because we build scaffolding up to 12 feet high, and then we put teenagers 14 to 18 on it. That's not the hard part. It's not the fact that we use an angle grinder that you put into the mortar joints and you grind it out and dust flies out of the wall and it gets on everything and everybody. That's not what makes it hard. It's not even the fact that when you mix the mortar, the type in mortar that we use to put into the wall, you know, when that mortar gets on your skin, it leaves gray, like a gray mark on it, right? You can wash it off, but you still get dirty. That's not the hard part. It's not even the fact that the labor itself is hard. Anybody ever try to carry 60-pound bags of anything across anywhere? There you go, Daniel. One of the main reasons, and you, believe it or not, it's not even because the teenagers can have bad attitudes. Enough of y'all don't got teenagers yet. One of the main reasons that it's hard, church, is that it's hot. It's simply because it's hot. All those things are irritants, but the main reason that the summer is hard is because it is hot. I know it because I did Harambe in St. Louis. And in St. Louis, every day was at least 95 with a humidity that was so high that you were at least working in triple-digit weather every day. In Chicago, it's like a vacation. When it's a high on 77, I always laugh and chuckle when I hear like native Chicagoans say, ooh, 77, it's hot out here today. I'm like, what kind of life have you been living? But it's the heat that makes the work hard. And when it's heat outside, you sweat and you sweat liberally. And when you sweat liberally, you know what happens? You get thirsty. And what I've learned over the years is when you get thirsty, I don't care what Sprite says when they talk about obey your thirst and drink a Sprite. It doesn't quench your thirst. Soda does not quench your thirst when you're thirsty. So I don't know. Maybe we should come up with a class action for Sprite for lying to us for so long. I don't know. But it doesn't quench your thirst. You can drink the soda and you still end up thirsty for what you actually need. Water. In the same way, church, living on this side of glory and trying to work out God's righteousness in a broken world without Jesus is like drinking soda on a hot day and hoping for it to quench our thirst. It tastes good. It tastes sugary, but it still leaves us thirsty and hungry. Where are those places you feel hungry or thirsty this morning and need God's future bread? His ultimate promise of his restoration come true today, that he's working forgiveness, righteousness, and justice into his world. Maybe it's the relationship with your neighbors. They're tense right now. They're contentious. You don't think good things about them. In fact, you think bad things about them. Maybe you need future bread there this morning. Maybe it's the political climate. You look at our leaders ranging from liberal all the way to conservative, not acting like leaders, and you feel burnt out by the foolishness. Maybe you need future bread this morning. Maybe it's your roommate. They're just impossible. Maybe you need future bread this morning. Maybe you're suffering under the weight of your own sin this morning, and you don't see how God will forgive, and the enemy has convinced you that God will not forgive you. I just want to say, that's a lie. Maybe you need future bread this morning that reminds you you are forgiven and you are his child. The gospel isn't how we hold on to God, but the gospel is how God holds on to us, despite when we act a darn fool. You are his child, his son and daughter. He has you and will not let go. Maybe you've suffered injustice and await God to do something about it. Maybe you need future bread this morning. Maybe you're struggling with our church, Boulevard Presbyterian Church, this morning. Or you're just struggling with church in general. Maybe you need future bread this morning. Maybe your parents are getting on your nerves and you're counting the days until you leave. Maybe you need future bread this morning. Brothers and sisters, God desires, it is his pleasure to meet us in all those places we feel hungry or thirsty. He wants to give us future bread to satisfy our hunger and our thirst. About seven years ago, or was it eight? More than that. Probably like 10 years now. Actually, it's 2019. Ouch. Anyway, 10 years ago, I was a seminary student. I had gotten tickets that I could not pay for myself. And I thought that I shouldn't call my mom or bother her. I shouldn't call my brother. And what ended up happening is my license ended up getting suspended. And when my mom and my brother found out, they were angry with me. Now, my brother, his faith is still in process and working. He threatened to kick, you know, you can fill in the blank, because I didn't call and say that I needed it. And my mom was angry. She said, all you had to do was pick up the phone and just call. Brothers and sisters, my brother and my mom, to be sure, they're not God. But if my brother and my mom can look at me, their son, and their brother, and long to fix those places that I had need, and they desired it. They desired it so much that they were angry. And I'm not saying that God is angry with you, but I'm just saying, just stick with me. And I know the example isn't perfect, but if they long to do that for me, how much more will our Heavenly Father and our elder brother Jesus long to meet us in our need with the bread that we need? Let us pray. God, we thank you for another day. We thank you that you desire to meet us in our lack and give us plenty. We need that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.